that David brings out, that I want to bring out, and it brings such power to presence. I think we so underestimate the power of presence. I've walked through a few hard places in my life, very difficult places. And can I tell you from my perspective that when I was in that place, what I didn't want was your information. What I wanted was your presence. I just wanted you to be there. And the people that were just there and said, you know what, we're just here. We don't know, we can't explain, we don't have the right information, but we're here and we care about you. Just invaluable. That was so, there was such a strength in that. It's really the strength of joy, because joy isn't a good feeling. Joy is the power of presence when we're together that enables us to get through the hard things of life. That's what joy does. That's why in Scripture, joy is always connected with face-to-face relationship. And even secular science recognizes that, that joy is created in the brain, and it happens when you're face-to-face with somebody and you see in their face that they're glad to be there with you. It releases, there's this reaction of joy, and it's a strength. It's a strength. So I just add to what's been said in that. The body of Christ needs to know Shiva. We need to know the power of presence and being together, because God was at work long before you showed up. And when we believe that he just works when we show up, I think we've discredited his ability and given ourselves far too much credit for what happens. When we show up and say, God, what are you doing? Because I just want to partner with you. And if that's just sitting and being a presence and a representation of who you are, then that's what I want to do. And I think if we listen, there's so many times that that's all God really requires of us, is that we would show up and be a presence, his presence, in the lives of others. So, Psalms 34, David doesn't exactly touch on this, but it ties in very well. I want to remember a critical aspect that David has kind of set forth for us in this psalm. We're going to back up just a little bit, because we went over it, and it's easy just to kind of skip over, but I want to revisit this because it is really a practice. And if you don't get this, it's very difficult to move on. I believe this is very chronological, the way David brings this out. And so, verse 4, Psalms 34, verse 4, David says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. And I proposed something to you, and I believe this. I believe if you look in Scripture, you'll see this. You may or may not agree, it's up to you, but this is what I believe, and I believe that God will position us to be delivered from our fears long before he delivers us from our enemies. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is, if God has to deliver me from my enemies to be delivered from my fears, I'm constantly going to be in fear. Because the enemies have no end till we leave this place. So David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from my fears. We understand David's still in the cave. Saul's still after him. The Philistines would still kill him. He's still separated from his family. Like, all the enemies are still there, but David says, I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all of my fears. I want to think about that for a moment from another perspective. Okay? And I just so believe we have to get this. God, I look out and I see things that distress me, but I'm not asking you to change that first. I'm asking you to change me first. Deliver me from the fear, because when the fear is gone, the troubles are not troublesome. are they? Right? What makes a trouble troublesome? Bugs me. I'm afraid. I'm worried. If think about a child, and I say this later on, I'll say it again probably later on, but think about a child. And sometimes we see a child and they just run around, they do stuff, and we go, man, they're fearless. They're fearless. And we think of that in the context of a person who has understanding but does it anyway. But that's really not the case with a child. A child has no fear because they have no history with that thing, so there's nothing to make them afraid. Right? You ever seen a kid moving towards something hot? You're gonna hear, they don't know. They have no fear because they have no understanding of that thing. And I just want to say, because it was brought up this morning and it's in my note, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. There are places where God's going to call you to relax your grip on what you know, because what you don't know is what he's doing. And if I hold tightly to what I know and I live by that, I'm going to be gripped with fear. You want to know why? Because I got some history and I know some stuff. And David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. And he helped me relax my grip on what I know. Because what I know is they're after me. But he delivered me from all of my fears. I think that's called faith. Right? I think that's called faith. It's a confidence in God's character. I know what I know, but I trust you more, right? So I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. So here's another perspective. I want to bring this and I want to draw something else into this that's just kind of interesting. Most of your enemies, okay? When I say enemies, I'm not just talking about people, you know, I'm talking about situations, circumstances, things that just come and they bring an adverse resistance against your life that would seek to bring unhealthy circumstances, right? It's an enemy, whether it's sickness or a car accident or maybe it is a person, right? But most of your enemies show up like out of the blue. Poof, there they are, right? Those are enemies. And often, not always, but often, you have little, if anything, to do with their arrival. Okay? When Cassandra had an emergency surgery and we found out she had ovarian cancer, poof, there it was, right? We didn't have really anything to do with that. It just showed up when my pickup rolled into the river. Poof. There it was. I had done everything I could do to prevent that from happening, but it happened anyway. Poof. There it is. The checker at the Walmart Supercenter doesn't treat you very nice. Poof. There they are. I didn't have really anything to do with that. It just showed up. And that, for the most part, when you think about enemies, and I think this is so substantial, we don't have a lot to do with our enemies, and God will deliver us from our fears before he delivers us from our enemies. So I have little to do with the enemies. You got that? Sometimes I make enemies, but many times in life, the things we deal with that are like that. They start out as outside of my control, enemies show up. But fear is made up by us. Okay? I have everything to do with fear. Well, I won't say everything. I have much to do with fear. Fear is based on what I know and affects my perception of the situation. And this is exactly what I talked about with a child. So many times children are fearless because of what? A lack of understanding. They're not stupid. They just don't have the information, right? And so fear stems from how much information I have. I had an aunt who was in the CIA, and she was schizophrenic by the end of her life. She knew too much and was full of fear. Now, that's an extreme case, but my dad, had this horrible fear of bees because he had gotten stung. And I don't know if he had a reaction. I don't know what the deal was. But when I was a kid, we're in Conrad, and we're shingling a roof. We're 12 feet in the air at the edge of the eave. And this little bumblebee starts flying around. My dad ran off the roof to get away from that bee. We make it up, folks. I'd take the stinger any day. I don't know. But it fear's based on what we know, isn't it? Isn't it? Right? It's based on what we know. So we enemies show up, fear is made up. God wants to deliver you from your fear before he delivers you from your enemies. Why? Because fear has to do with me, how I view a situation, how I view him active in that situation. Right? And fear is a leavening agent. Okay? Fear will take a molehill and leaven it into a mountain, won't it? Have you ever tried to walk somebody through something and you're looking at this and you're going, this isn't any big deal, but fear has just turned it into such an issue in their life and has such a grip. And you're like, this really isn't that big a deal. And they go, this is a huge deal. This is the bumblebee chasing me off the roof, right? And I will say, you know, if something looks like a Goliath to somebody, it is a Goliath. But what makes it a Goliath? Is it really a Goliath, or is it what I know or what I think I know, this fear that drives me? And so David says, he delivered me from my fears. God's asking me to relax my grip on what I know, because David goes, I have some fears. I understand these guys have swords, they have spears, blah, 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 blah. God says, yeah, but you know what? There's things you don't know. And I'm asking you to let me lead you. But to do that, you're going to have to allow me to deliver you from your fears. You notice David said they were his fears. He delivered me from all my fears. They weren't God's fears, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Okay, fear is based on what I know, my perception of the situation. Fear is a leavening agent that can turn no big thing into a giant ball of dough. So to be delivered from our fears will require us to relax our grip on our own understanding, thereby allowing us to experience the ability of God beyond our understanding. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean our understanding is worthless, right? Right? God did give us a brain. He does let us understand some things, but there comes a time, and many times, when we have to decide, am I going to live according to my own understanding, or am I going to trust the Lord with all my heart? Because that is the substance of Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do it. Right? That's a deliver me from my fears verse. Why do you think the Solomon wrote that? Why do I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart? Because I got some fear going on, and I got some understanding. And if I hold tightly to my understanding, who am I not going to walk with? I'm not going to walk with God. Why? Because his ways are higher than my ways. And I don't have that understanding. And that looks scary to me. But yet Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. At this point, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he will do it. So let's look at Deuteronomy 8:3, and I know you're going to go, what's this have to do with anything? Well, let's read Deuteronomy 8:3. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. I had a really interesting thought about this passage. It just popped into my mind. Middle of the week, I was talking with Pastor Lynn Lapka, and all of a sudden this popped into my head. I thought of this passage. Of course, I was thinking of of Jesus in the book of Matthew in the desert, in the temptation. But I went back to the original one when this was spoken, God speaking through Moses to the people of Israel just before they're going into the promised land. And an interesting thought, because it's like, does God have something against bread? Right? He's always picking on bread. He's always picking on, I like bread. Never mind. Don't go there, past bread. Okay, so, but I just had an interesting thought. Who makes bread? Who makes bread? We make bread, don't we? We make bread. And this was the thought I had. God goes, you know, here's the deal with bread. You make it. Man shall not live alone by the things that he can make. Man shall not live by bread alone. We make bread. Bread is put together in its various forms by people who mix ingredients together and achieve a resulting loaf. Bread is a result of human endeavor based on their own understanding and choosing. That's what bread represents. Isn't that interesting? Now, if you take that and consider when Satan's tempting Jesus, well, turn these, you do it. Turn these stones into something. You say the words, you do the mixing, you do the, make it happen yourself. Show me who you are. Bread is something we make up, and God looks at the Israelites and he says, I tested you because I wanted you to understand that you can't live alone on the things you can produce. Okay? Is it any wonder that God told the Israelites we shouldn't live by this alone? God goes on to tell Israel that if they are willing, that he would put them in school. Now remember from Psalms 34, where is David? David is in school, verses 1 through 4. The original writers go, he's writing this as if he is in a school of affliction, which he is. Okay? And he's inviting us. He goes, come with me and see the goodness of the Lord that I'm learning here, the fear of the Lord. Okay? And so David, God goes on to tell Israel that if they were willing, he would put them in a school and teach them how to make his bread by every word which proceeds out of his mouth. Man shall not live by the bread alone which he makes, but by every word, right? Live by the bread that proceeds out of my mouth. John chapter 6, verse 58, this is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Who's this? This is Jesus, the bread of heaven. And God said, you will live by him. just in case, in the beginning, 1:1, John 1:1, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who is that referring to? Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the Word of God, out of the mouth of God. And Jesus was the bread of heaven. This is who we live by. So, take this back to fear. Fear is made up by what I know. It's a leavening agent that I put in. And God said, you know, you can't just live by that, but you need to live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. And if you will do that, I will deliver you from your fears. Eat the bread of heaven. I want you to remember where we started. We're not going to get all the way there today. I'm going to finish this up next week. But so many times, what keeps us from doing Shiva with people? What keeps us from just being a presence in their lives? Fear. I don't know how many times I've watched somebody lose a loved one or somebody suffering with something, and I just have this urgent sense in my heart, I just need to go, but I don't go. You want to know why? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I let fear keep me from being a presence. And most of the time, do you want to know what the thought is that keeps me? What am I going to say? What if you said nothing? and just showed up. I'll tell you what, I have made it a conscious practice with quite a few people over the last year to just go sit with them because I knew they're struggling. And I just determined in my heart that I was going to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And to just sit and to just listen and to just care and just be glad to be there with them. And almost without exclusion, those people have said, thank you for just coming and listening. God was at work before I got there, and He was at work when I left. And I just came and became a presence. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Here, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This is one of those verses that says, whose bread are you eating? Whose bread are you eating? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. If we have a willingness to accept this truth and move towards it by the empowering grace of God, then we will remain anchored. As endurance perfects its work in us, as we learn the fear of the Lord in the school of affliction. So we're going to, next week, we're going to draw this into the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is different than the fear we make up. It's an awe. It's a reverence, and it's a place of response to God, and it's how we respond to God. And David says, come children, remember in verse 11, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's so interesting to me that in Proverbs 3:7, it says that the fear of the Lord is only found when I will turn away from my wisdom. I'm not going to find God's wisdom in my own understanding. Matter of fact, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of His wisdom. I want to know this. Not the certificate, know it. But God, I want to be in a practice of living this way where I stand in awe of who You are, and the fear of the Lord causes me to hold lightly the things that I know. I do know some things. It's okay. It's not bad. It's just when I trust those more than I trust Him. And so, God, I want to hold lightly so that You can deliver me from my fears. Hey, God, I know this. He goes, I know You know that. Yeah, and in this world, you're going to have some problems, but take heart. Like, I've already overcome that. Okay. Let's go. Let's go. I don't know how it's going to work out, but as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are Your ways above mine. Let's go. I don't know that I need to expound on that too much more. But anyway, next week I want to move into that, and it's just interesting how the fear of the Lord and the power of presence and community all meet together. I remember a lot of years ago, we had one of Cassandra's friends stop by our house. They live outside of Malta there, and she had just had some problems with a school superintendent and trying to get some stuff, and she was just telling us that when she would go in, he would just rant and rave, And she said, I just felt like the Lord told me to just be silent. So she said, I would sit there and I would look and smile as best I could and kind of nod my head. And when he was done, I would leave. And she goes, it just unhinged him. Just unhinged him. She goes, there is power in a quiet confidence. When we have a quiet confidence in God, you know, the people that I think really know God the best have a quiet confidence, because if you have to argue with people, you really don't believe what you say you believe. You just have to be right at the end of the conversation so you can feel better about it. People that really believe what they believe have a quiet confidence, and somebody's railing against them, they go, well, okay. I know that's what you think, but it's just not the case. But I guess we're just going to have to let it play out. And that really affects our ability to be with people, whether it's in the marketplace or in our homes or because how many of you know, even the people that don't agree with you are looking for hope. And if they see it in you and it's real, it's undeniable. And you don't have to tell them about it. They can see it. I want that, but it's the fear of the Lord, and that quiet confidence doesn't come when I'm simply leaning on my own understanding, but it's when I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart and turning away from being wise in my own eyes, fearing the Lord. Because what's David's promise in Psalm 34? Those who fear the Lord are possessors of all he is. Now, something so interesting, because we spent so much time in Psalms 23. What's the opening verse of Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I propose to you that he can't be your shepherd unless you're walking in the fear of the Lord. Because David said the fear of the Lord is what gives us access to all he possesses. Psalms 23 says that when he is my shepherd, I possess all he has. Is he your shepherd? The fear of the Lord puts us in the path of righteousness, the path of how God sees it, where he wants to lead us for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Father, we thank you for all that you've done today in our midst, all that you're demonstrating in our midst. God, you are constantly at work, constantly at work. God, when we can't see you, you're there. When we can see you, God, you're still there. Would you lead us, God, to be your presence in people's lives that don't perceive you yet. Spirit of Christ, would you saturate us again with your power and your presence, not so we can say we're somebody, but so that we can stand in the fear of the Lord. Jesus said you would lead us into all truth. He said that you would take from what was his and you would make it ours. And Isaiah said that you came in the power of the fear of the Lord. Spirit of God, we want that to be a reality in our lives. God, that we're not leaning on our own understanding, that you are delivering us from our fears. That you are doing it, that you are making a way, God, that we would be holding tightly to you by faith, for you are the God who does abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think or even imagine. And God, your promise in Romans 8 says that you are able to work all things for good two, not four, to those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. God, that you help us to see it the way you see it. You don't change it for our comfort. You just give us new eyes. God, give us new eyes. Eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand what you are doing by your Spirit who reveals those things to your people. And God, that there would be a well of life flowing out of us, God, a forceful well of life flowing out of us that goes beyond us and who we are and what we know and what we can comprehend. God, that there would be a well of life springing up out of us that would flow to others who are looking for hope. And that they would taste and see that you are good. God, that we would dig deeply. And God, find pools of refreshing where others only find pain. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Spirit of Christ, help us to feed abundantly on Jesus' life, the Word of God made flesh, bread of heaven. He said, eat of this bread and you will live forever. Drink of this water and you will never thirst again. God, let that not just be something we say, but let it be a reality of our lives that we are eating and drinking of you and finding your strength, standing in the fear of the Lord, and with a confidence we can say, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. God, help us to be presence that you have given us the power to be in the lives of others. We thank you for all these things. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.